Hebrews 13, the complete chapter 1 to 25. And so the man comes to his final words to these Hebrew believers. And at first glance, it seems like a series of disjointed concluding exhortations. But there is, I think, as we look into them, a certain connection, and he's fitting these exhortations together as one last effort to encourage these believers to continue with Christ and not go back to the law, to the old covenant. He almost takes it for granted as he opens, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Don't go back. I have warned you, I have instructed you, I've encouraged you, I've urged you, I've tried to point the benefits out to you, I've shown you the losses and so on. If you go back, I take it for granted now then. Now keep on loving." There's exhortation here. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Don't forget to entertain strangers. Again, going back to several episodes in the Old Testament. Because you never know, he says, what blessing might be in it. Some have entertained angels without knowing it, unawares, by such hospitality. And then think of your fellow prisoners, believers who are suffering. "You have suffered, I know," he says, "and you've done well under it. But maybe it's this suffering that's got to you now. Well, remember that others are suffering too, and maybe are more ill-treated at the moment than you are. Remember them and put yourself in their place as if you were suffering with them." Verse 4, marriage. Why did you pick on that? Well, of course, sexual sin was so rampant. Adultery and infidelity were so rampant in these times. Well, in every time, certainly in this 21st century. And as believers, he says, we must shine in this dark world. Shine for Christ. This is practical sanctification and godliness. Love for one another. Entertainment, hospitality in the right sense. Careful, sympathetic understanding and prayerful joining with others. Fidelity in marriage. Keeping oneself pure in this evil world. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Don't go down that road. Especially in the age of the internet. And then money. Keep your lives free from the love of money. You have responsibility. You see, people say about the New Covenant people that we have no depth or weight of instruction, or and there's no sort of exhortation, or there's no commandment about it. Ridiculous. Keep on loving. Don't forget. Remember this. Keep yourselves pure free. Of course there are commandments in the New Covenant, but they're all bound up with Christ. They're not in letter and flesh, although they concern the body, but they're primarily springing entirely from the Spirit, from Christ, from the Gospel. Keep yourselves free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "I will never leave you." Don't go back. Don't leave him. He will never leave you. "Never will I forsake you," so that we may say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Now, is there some sense of persecution here? Are they growing weary through this persecution? Remember, the Lord is your helper. He is stronger than all your enemies. Remember your leaders, verse 7. Is that apostles? Or is that their ruler teachers? The men who have spoken the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, their sufferings, their difficulties, and imitate their faith. Apostolic here, I think. Above all, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. The old covenant, which you're thinking of going back to, has been superseded. It was weak and useless, and it's been abolished because it's been fulfilled. Jesus Christ, ever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Now here I think we do have a hint of one of the troubles of these people. They were being attacked, as so many believers were, so many churches were, by Judaistic teachers. Don't be carried away by these strange ideas. It's good for the hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. I have known, very much in a personal way, I've known very close to me, how a believer can be taken up with the Jewish dietary laws, and how that leads on and on to enormous consequences. These Jewish rules and laws, the law which is being fulfilled and therefore abolished, they don't do anything to strengthen grace. Oh, I know the law teachers and the incipient law teachers think much about these things. You can judge by the outward and the externals, but they don't convey grace at all, my friend. They're no value to those who eat them and those who don't eat them. And then again, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. A man can be a priest in the old covenant, but until he comes into Christ, he has no participation in our altar. We have an altar, we have a temple, we have a tabernacle, we have a sacrifice, we have a candlestick, we have a laver of washing. It's all Christ, 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 Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have sacrifices. One sacrifice. We have the blood of bulls and goats wrapped up in the blood of Jesus Christ, as it were. And his blood, his one sacrifice, has overcome and undone all the other sacrifices and all the other animals and rituals and so on. They're all summed up, abolished, because they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Don't go back to that. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. Yes, once a year. Tremendous day. Robes, incense, music, all wonderful, yeah. But remember Jesus Christ and what he has done. But remember, in those days the bodies were burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the camp on Mount Calvary to make the people holy through his own blood. His own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. His blood, not the blood of animals. His own blood, holy. No man was made holy by the high priest's offering in Israel. It was an annual remembrance of sin, a reminder of sin. It was a picture of what was to come. Why will you go back to the picture when you have the reality? Christ's one offering has not only justified, he has completely made right with God, sanctified, made holy all his people. Jesus also suffered outside the gate, city gate, to make the people holy through his own blood. Therefore we must go to him. Let us again. Another one of his letters, is it? Let us. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. I think you have a hint here, more than a hint, that the Judaistic teachers were saying, now look at this, come back to this, the law, the sacrifices, the temple, the tabernacle, look at, yes, yes, very good as a picture. But the reality is here, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. For here we do not have an enduring city. We have disgrace here. Let us bear that disgrace for Christ. Don't give up because of this disgrace. Count yourself honored and privileged when you suffer disgrace for Christ. We have an enduring city, but not here. We are looking for a city that is to come, the glorious heavenly city. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. We are priests in the new covenant. The priesthood of all believers is here. We praise God, the fruit of lips that confess his name, doing good, practical hospitality, entertain strangers. And all this we've had already in this past chapter. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Engage in the priesthood of all believers, the members one of another, the all-body ministry, the fruit of lips worshipping God that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, physically, emotionally, materially, caring for one another, comforting one another, helping one another, praying for one another, teaching one another, for with such sacrifices, priestly work again, we are a priesthood in the new covenant. God is pleased. Again, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Apostolic or ruling teaching. I think it's the ruler teachers here. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account, answerable to God. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. To them, of course. Why not? Because that will be of no advantage to you. If you want to get the best out of your teachers, then obey their teaching, all in line, of course, with Acts 17:11, the Berean Spirit. Pray for us. Pray for one another. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way before the pagans, yes. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. He's held back in some way. Is he imprisoned? Is he detained in some way? And then we get this tremendous benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, not the superseded covenant, not the temporal covenant, the temporary one, God added the covenant, Galatians 3:19, the old covenant, until it was a temporary covenant from the beginning, until the coming of the seed, which is Christ. But this covenant that Christ has established is the eternal covenant. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good, leaving nothing wanting, for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm assuming, he says. I'm hoping. Can I say I'm confident that you will not go back from Christ. You will go on looking to Jesus. And the God of peace will give you peace, give you power, give you grace to live according to his will in the eternal new covenant. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, lovingly exhorting them. Brothers, urge you, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. Timothy has been released. He's been suffering for the gospel too. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Again, greet all your leaders. The apostles, yes. The rulers and teachers in God's church and all God's people. The Italians, particularly the Romans perhaps, send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Not law, grace be with you all. Not flesh, not letter, not law, but grace, Spirit, Christ. So what is this letter about? In Christ we have everything. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, the great pastor, the great apostle, the great leader, the great sovereign, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us. May the Spirit of God work in us what is pleasing to him, to God, through Jesus Christ. And is all in Christ, to whom be glory, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Grace be with you all. Don't go back. Don't mix law and gospel. Don't mix letter and spirit. Don't mix flesh and the spiritual. It's all in Christ. It's all grace. Don't go back. Don't mix it. Don't preach a mixture of law and gospel. Preach grace, grace, free grace all the time. Preach Christ. The old had its place, but the day for the old covenant, the end of the day, has come. Its sun has set. Now the Son of Righteousness has risen, and the eternal new covenant is with us. Hold on to Christ. Press on to Christ. Press on with Christ. Serve Christ, looking to Christ. Grace be with you all. If any unbeliever is listening to me, the last time I'm speaking in Hebrews in this series, come to Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of faith. If you come to him, of you it can be said, that Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make even you holy through his own blood. Come to him and find him so. And every believer who hears me, may grace be with us all, and may we go on with Christ, proving that he is the same yesterday and today and forever.